Good morning, Christ Center. It's Tuesday, November 4th, and we are in the ninth week of our Book of Mark devotional series. Today, we're going to read Mark 15, verses 6 through 15. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark chapter 15, 6 through 15. At the festival, Pilate used to release for the people a prisoner whom they requested. There was one named Barabbas, who was in prison with rebels who had committed murder during the rebellion. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them as was his custom. And Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" For he knew it was because of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he would release Barabbas to them instead. And Pilate asked them again, "Then what do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" And again they shouted, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" And wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. And after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. We're here with Carly Davis as well. Carly, this reading reminds me of the monologue that you've done on Good Friday several times now.
Yeah.
Of the fictional woman who lost her husband in a rebellion and was excited about Jesus as the Messiah. And then when she realized he wasn't who he was going to be, ended up joining the crowds of crucify him. There's just so much heartbreak and irony in this passage, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Wishy-washy crowds, and they're not wishy-washy, but they're being very manipulated,
right,
by their own feelings and by the chief priests. There's a lot going on here.
We did have that Palm Sunday crowd that was welcoming Jesus as the Messiah, and then we have less than a week later here, 5 days later, many in the crowd shouting for him to be crucified, and the one that they've chosen to get released was an actual violent rebel attempted insurrection against Rome. And so there's a lot of irony here. This is a bloodthirsty group, and it's certainly not everyone. This is a group that was being manipulated by the religious elites in the first place.
Yeah, and like in verse 10 it says, because of the envy of the chief priests, that's why they were being manipulated. It didn't even have much to do with, this is Barabbas, he's a bad guy, we actually do want a violent rebellion. It was just the priest's envy that was stirring this all up.
Yeah, and Joshua, Pilate was so easily manipulated here. Like, certainly you would think that if he wants to execute anyone, it's Barabbas, but he's so easily manipulated.
Well, I think Mark doesn't go into this, but in a parallel gospel, it unpacks this a little bit more. That Pilate's wife had had this tormenting dream specifically about Jesus and had warned Pilate, hey, don't have anything to do with this Jesus guy. Like, you do not want to be involved in convicting him. And so, you know, his own wife has shared this. So that's certainly affecting what he wants to do here. But then also, we have to remember again that this is a tinderbox, like, just waiting to explode into a riot. So he's in a tough spot. He wants to make the crowd be a peaceful people. So he's doing everything that he can to keep the peace, whether it's right or wrong. I think he's attempting to make his wife happy and attempting to release Jesus. He knows that this is about envy and sort of political intrigue. He understands political intrigue very well. So he's like, maybe I can get a win-win. Maybe I can release Jesus in this custom that I already do every year during the festival.
Right.
But the chief priests, they're already ahead of this. They know he's going to release a prisoner. Right. So they've already stirred up the crowd. It will be Barabbas.
Yeah.
So I think with him, he's being the consummate negative politician, negative connotation of politician here.
Right.
He's playing politics. He doesn't do what is right. He does what's expedient to keep the peace in this moment.
He does not want to be there. Pilate does not want to be here. He didn't live in Jerusalem. He lived in Caesarea and would apparently come down and stay in Jerusalem in Herod's palace during the Passover because of the threat of revolt. It was always, everything was turned up to 11, as they say. And So he knew who's going to be in these kinds of tense situations. He does not view Jesus as a threat, and he probably thinks this is the easiest choice in the world. These guys were just welcoming him as the Messiah. They've been following him throughout the temple. He's been watching all of this. But as he interviews Jesus here, he doesn't actually think he's a threat. So he's thinking, well, let me give him back to the people. Jesus has shown not one iota of violence against Rome. He has not spoken against Rome. He hasn't done any of these things. So if he had, I think Pilate would have been like, okay, let's go and do this. He cannot believe this. I think he's thinking this is the easiest choice in the world. It's like giving your kid, you know, coming to your kid, do you want the broccoli or the ice cream? This is an easy thing. Do you want this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, back, right? You love him. It's just your religious leaders that are manipulating you. So let me give the obvious choice. And as they call for the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus, he is floored. He's absolutely floored.
Yeah, and I'm thinking too about, was it standard at the time? Was there going to be crucifixions no matter what? Because Barabbas was in prison. He could have just stayed in prison.
Yeah.
If they released Barabbas, Jesus could have just stayed in prison. But again, the priests were riling them up to say, crucify him. Like,
crucify him, yeah.
That is a really big jump from stay in prison to we're going to murder you.
Yeah, well, and crucifixion was a common punishment. It was a common form of execution for traitors, for people who had done what Barabbas did and for what people had tried to say Jesus did. This was the consequence, and it was humiliating. And let's show all these people around, don't mess with Rome. And so that's what they end up jumping. They didn't have to jump to that, did they?
No,
that's
an excellent point. They could have just been like, okay, we'll just leave Jesus in prison and then we've handled it. Like, well, we've taken him off the board.
Yeah. Joshua, there's another side to this. Did you ever listen to Chuck Swindoll on the radio? Years ago, I used to love the way he talked. He poses this scenario, and I never thought about this, but Barabbas was in his, like this jail he would have been in was within earshot of the crowds. He probably couldn't have heard one voice, but he could have heard the crowds as they're shouting, give us Barabbas. And then you hear this, you know, Pilate saying, what do you want to do? He probably wouldn't have heard that, but then he would have heard the crowd shout, crucify him. That's got to be pretty terrifying for him.
And so Barabbas, you know, emerges expecting, you know, this is the end. They've called for me. And the crowd is chanting, crucify him, crucify him. And then he comes out and he's released. And he would have heard of Jesus.
Sure.
And here's Jesus that is then crucified in his place. And what is that? That's the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the good news, that the guilty man, guilty of rebellion, guilty of murder, guilty of doing things in his own way, on his own time, outside of God's plan, he goes free.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the perfect one, is crucified in his place. That is our story.
Can you imagine being Barabbas years later and trying to wrap your mind around what happened? Like, oh my goodness, I was actually the rebel. I was the full-on, I'm going after Rome. I was violent. I was the murderer. I was the one who literally should have been crucified. And then suddenly, Jesus Christ, the one who never did anything wrong.
And I was the one that did everything that I possibly could, and it wasn't enough, and I failed.
Yeah.
I mean, he was trying to liberate the Jews. He was trying to restore, or like, he believed in what he was doing and epically failed. And ultimately, that is all of our story. We cannot do in our own strength what only Christ has done for us at the cross.
Yeah. Amen. Carly, would you pray a blessing over us today?
Yeah. Lord, thank you for doing what only you could do. Help us to put our trust in you and let you do your work in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.